sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. We are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. So we invite you to join us. Why? Because sex matters, period. All right. Well, let's do a quickie, Patricia. A quickie with Patricia and Judy.
Oh, wow. Boy, you're getting a lot today. A lot for a little.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
I don't do quickies, just so you know. They're 7-course meals at least.
I think that's totally fair. I like it. Okay. So the topic, you don't even know much about this topic.
No, I'm so the intrigue is killing me.
So I talked about this topic on my health and wellness podcast, but I thought, how fun to bring it over and think about it on a sexual level for our sex lives. So there's this doctor, I listened to a couple podcasts about one of his ideas, and I think it's his idea that he does for himself. So I don't know how big this is into the world, but it's called Centurion Olympics. And here's the concept. So we all want to work out. So for him in particular, he's like, okay, I used to run marathons and do those things. I'm not doing those things anymore. So what is the reason we exercise? It's to be healthy, but what can help us to have goals, right? Like, what are we shooting for when we're exercising? What are we working towards? So the whole concept of the Centurion Olympics is this idea of what do you want to be able to do when you're 100 years old?
Oh.
So you're working towards something specific. So he says that he wrote down, I think he said 18 things. So one of the things was he said, I sat and thought about how old are my kids going to be? How old are my grandkids going to be? Who's going to be in my life? And he's like, I have kids. He's 45-ish and he's got young kids. And he's like, well, what do kids do? You want to be able to be on the floor with them to play. So he said, I want to be able to get off the floor with one point of support. I want to be able to do, he named the lunge. I don't remember what the lunge is called, but he says, you think of toddlers when they run at you with full force. And if they expect you to kind of catch them and pick them up, he says, I want to be able to hunch, squat and pick them up. And so he basically just thought of all of these things he wants to be able to do in his life. And so he started to train for that specific thing, for those things. How is my body going? What do I need in my body? What core strength, what support strength in my spine, et cetera, do I need to be able to do that? And he's like, it's not to say I'm going to live to 100, but it's the kind of the goal of what do I want to be able to do and what am I working towards? So I was thinking about that.
My brain is going a mile a minute because I'm writing down.
Exactly. That's what I figured. This is why I thought this would be fun. I didn't want to do this alone. So I'm thinking about that. And I'm thinking about that in our own lives. Who thinks about, okay, what do I want to, I know some people do. And I know I have. What do I want to be able to do sexually? And what do I need to do? I am a not incredibly limber person. I'm limber in really weird ways, but not in others. So I can't do the splits. I don't think I'll ever be able to do the splits. I just don't think that will happen in my body. But I also, in just being able to want to function, I want to be able to have as much stretch in my legs as possible. Also handy sexually. So
you are funny.
So I'm thinking of what are the things we might want to do, want to make ourselves healthier or fit or just functional for? It's a functional fitness, right? I always thought of this when I was way younger. I didn't even know if there was a term for functional fitness, but I saw my dad. My dad, sorry, Dad, talking to you about you on a sex podcast, but he'll never hear it. It'll be fine. But he's a farmer, right? He grew up with a farmer. He's got that farmer strength that he has kept his entire life. My dad has never worked out a day in his life, but he had an entire childhood and adulthood of physical labor. And as he is in his 90s now, He is still very strong. He's losing some of that due to strokes and various things, and not doing as much work. But he really kept that. So I always saw my dad as like, he was a maintenance guy for a period of his life. And he would get so annoyed with the guys who go work out at the gym. Cause he's like, they go, they spend an hour and a half at the gym. They come back with these huge muscles and they won't help me move a fridge. They're it was just like,
I want to meet your dad. Oh my God. That's awesome.
But my dad would recruit other people occasionally. Cause the other guys, I mean, he just didn't get it. He's like, why are you doing this? What are you getting at the gym? I mean, he didn't see it. You know, I mean, yeah. It was all physical.
He didn't see the value.
Right. And he saw the value in physical, in working your muscles as being able to use them. Right.
Right.
And these guys weren't using them. He was like, they don't want to help me move a fridge. They're not as helpful as the kid who's offered to help me down the hall, you know, who lives in the apartment complex. And so I always saw this as my dad just doing life and being very functional. But we don't do a lot of that anymore, right? So in just daily life. So what are the things that we need to think about on a sexual level to keep ourselves? Might that be a way to motivate ourselves?
This is a very, very interesting topic. I have all of these thoughts right now because, especially as women, I'm just going to say, as women, we don't picture ourselves at 100 years old being sexual beings, right?
Right.
We don't picture ourselves living to 100 years old, even though it's a real possibility today. Today, mm-hmm. you know, medical science is fascinating and just it's prolonging our lives more and more every day.
Right.
And the more and more steps we take towards our own personal health walk, the better our chances are that we will make 100. Mm-hmm. Now, as women though, what do we think of our vaginas at that point? At what point does our existence, our personality, our drive, our purpose for life switch that flip switch from being a sexual being to being a non-sexual being? Mm-hmm. And I think this is where there's just a slight bit of like disconnect in women believing that they don't have to be sexual, you know, that it's not a part of them and that they can just shut it off because someday I'm just going to be old and dry up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what is old? People who are in their 40s aren't having sex because they won't go to the doctor and talk to a doctor about their, their vaginal health, or mm-hmm. because they're having pain during sex, or they're not using lube because they feel embarrassed or whatever else. This is just an absolutely very, very cool idea. I'm thinking about me being in a nursing home with a wheelchair that has a dildo attached to it. And please push me over some bumps,
right?
You know, like, like, you know, oh, we're going to go to shower time now. Oh, this sounds fun. Make sure you get me real clean. You know, that I don't know if I'll be this sassy when I'm 100, but honestly, we're still sexual beings. Maybe everything else will hurt so bad that it's not, the pleasure isn't quite as much of a goal in life aside from existing or living or being pain-free.
Well, but. And isn't that sad? Because, and I think of how, like, okay, when I think of history and mm-hmm. I think of how women used to, when they had PMS and they were quote unquote hysterical, the mm-hmm. doctor would give them a freaking orgasm.
Yeah. Why don't they give old people vibrators in a nursing home?
Right. I mean, why? This is where sex work would be really handy, because it's not like if the desire doesn't go away for you, and even if it does, you still have kind of that need, right?
Yeah. And that there'd be options, right?
Right. And if you can't, because your hands are geriatrically in pain, you know, if we could do this, and again, I know there's so much risk for abuse. I get the concerns, but
yeah,
let's just take that off the table for a minute.
Yeah. We're all of sound mind and,
right.
and body, just older. Right.
Right. Exactly. And you could say to your worker, hey, you know, whatever the catchphrase is when we're 90,
to Snickle Fritz. I need an orgasm, right?
So, and it's the whole, you know, to be able to do that. How much does that help our pain, right? I mean, I have dealt, especially, I'm honestly better than I used to be, but fibromyalgia-ish type stuff, because it's the closest term I've got for it. Mm-hmm. A really good orgasm and a really good, you know, like when I've had partners who were like big on giving me a massage and then an orgasm, you know, you feel amazing and it's a relief, right? And it's, I'm thinking the old people, older people, if they had that opportunity, if you're not able and fit and whatever, and geriatric, I know your hands are messed up because you've typed too much, you know, so it's so sad that you then have to, and then again, I also think of society and how we talk about older people and how when they get, you know, okay, Tina Turner, she's still fuckable, right?
Oh my God, but it's incredible.
I know, it's so unfair. She's got such great genes. And I know she works for it too, but
yeah,
I think she told the actress who played her in the movie, the actress had to like eat rice cakes forever. And she's like, oh, I just eat what I want. And she's like, the actress was like, rah! But, but the point is if you're not of that genetic, you know, you're not 75, 80, 90 and either cosmetic surgery or whatever, because for whatever reason, right?
Right.
You don't want to, you become seen as this old non-sexual being. And, you know, and I've heard men talk about women. Well, I just want to upgrade to a younger woman every 20 years because have you seen how women look old and they get old? And it's like, oh, dude, you know.
you're not looking so great yourself.
Well,
right.
And I mean, it's so frustrating that our culture is so focused on beauty and not, you know, I've heard a few men who have said about their wives of especially long term, you know, my God, that woman bore my child, that yes, her body has changed, but she has borne my child. She has gone through life's challenges. And yes, she's a bit flabby, but you know what? She's taking care of herself. She's lost weight. She's beautiful you know, just seeing that whole picture. And my God, can those men keep reproducing children and raising them? Please. We need them in the world so much. But but I think this idea, this whole centurion idea, yeah, it brings up that idea of reminding us we can be sexual at 100. People, older people, people don't want to hear it, but they're still having sex. They're still wanting to have sex. And we need to allow that to continue happening.
Okay. So let's come up with some ideas for this. Because I think it's really kind of cool. Just forward thinking and intentional, right? So when you started rattling off some of that stuff that the guy was mentioning, I'd like to be able to get off the floor with 1.2, you know, because if we're on the floor, I don't want to look old getting up off the floor. That would be nice. I'd like to still be able to be on top because that's my favorite position. So that means keeping my knees healthy, keeping my thigh muscles healthy. Let's see. I'd like to be able to engage in sexual activity for at least an hour at a time by 100. I think that's reasonable, you know. I'd like to be able to do tantric positions. So maybe that means I have to do more yoga. You know, bendy, flexibility, limber. Let's see. I want to keep up with my belly dancing skills.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Because imagine being 100 years old and in a nursing home, if that's where I end up, and being able to do a belly dance routine.
Oh, yeah.
Forget the caregivers. I want a boyfriend in the nursing home, you know?
Yep.
And I want to be allowed to have sex with somebody in the nursing home if I choose to. That was a big deal because I've worked in nursing homes. And when people would start to get smitten on each other because it happens sometimes.
People would shut it down.
It's shut down. It's discouraged. The family's disgusted by it. Blah, 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 blah. So
isn't that fascinating? Disgusted by it.
Like, by
what the hell? See, that's where a culture teaches us. Oh my God. It's, what are they thinking about? They're thinking about, what does it look like to watch those two people have sex. Ooh, that doesn't look like a porno movie. That's not okay. And it's like, you know, porno movies are the only thing that look like porno movies.
That's
the amount
right.
of people
they
who said, oh my
real.
God, I videotape myself having sex and that's not pretty. It looks so much better in my head. Yep. Keep it in your head or go hang out with the directors and the whatevers who are doing everything. You know, I mean, people don't think about that, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you're thinking about how horrible it is, you're either diminishing this person's mental state and desires, which maybe you need to be aware of that, but they still have desires and they're still legitimate. And yeah, and if all you're thinking about is, oh, that's disgusting, well, hone in on why that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's time to have a discussion around that. And a nurse's aide at a nursing home is not the person to do that. You get clocked or fired or something like that.
That's the thing, right? Like I get that we are.
Or they'd be looked at as enabling harassment or, you know, there's just so much to it. So I want to have my mental faculties that I'm able to choose, that I'm able to make choices. I can choose to flirt. I can choose to engage in a relationship. I can choose to have sex with whoever the fuck I want. If I want to have sex with another 100-year-old man, or I want to have sex with my male nurse, or I want to have sex with the physical therapist or the grocery boy, you know, I wrote down here to perhaps have the a functional goal, not necessarily fitness, but perhaps to be in a position where I could be a sugar mama. I could bring in my own source of entertainment, excitement, desire, satisfaction, whatever.
Right.
But again, a lot of that takes mental faculties. I'd like my face to my facial muscles to still be able to give a good blowjob. So taking care of your teeth, practicing giving blowjobs, stretching your face muscle so that you're able to still suck and blow. It takes it's strenuous activity if you're doing it right. Mm-hmm. So, and it keeps your face nice and tight and, you know, it's good for you. And let's see what else. Look good and feel sexy or strong until the day I die.
Right. Yeah. So strong. Yeah. So it's also being able to keep your arm muscles so you can, you know, use them when you're either kneeling or, and I'm thinking,
over top,
you know,
right?
If you want to continue with BDSM and you want to be on the rack, you got to.
There's got to be some muscle tone or fat there to be able to
handle,
to take impact. Right. Absolutely.
Right. And to stretch.
I do know a lot of couples who are in their late 60s into their 70s who are very active in the BDSM scene. So it is not undoable.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're keeping it up.
Yeah,
right?
They are. And it's because they practice.
Right.
And it's a mental practice and a physical practice and a spiritual practice. I mean, honestly, I really try right now to incorporate the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual side of sex in everything that I talk about. So spiritually, just being in tune with the idea that you are a sexual creature and you were designed for pleasure. And even until the day you die, your ultimate pleasure here on earth is sexual bliss until it transcends to something else. Now, and that's something else to talk about. You know, some people, when they do go without sex for a while, they do learn to shut off the actual sexual desires and become more of a transcendent sexual person, where they're finding pleasure and bliss in things outside of physical pleasure. And I get that. And I honor that, because when you can't physically do it anymore, you're going to have to find your pleasure somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very, very strong mental exercise to stay in that spiritually aware place where you can get your sensations through texture, through taste, through interaction, through watching children play, through having the sun on your skin. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of things. It takes a lot of mindfulness and intention to do that transcendent sex.
Right.
thing.
Well, and is there any, you know, I'm fascinated. Dr. Ruth.
I love her.
I know. She's fascinating. She says her husband, she says, I have this recorded. She has her husband, he was in a place with his, I believe it's her ex-husband now, but they were in a place and he was there when they were doing the interview and they asked him about his, I think it was like their sex life. And he says, you know, what did he say? The something like, you know, the shoemaker, shoemaker's kids have no shoes.
I'll tell you that me, myself and I, you know, this is a really funny thing that, you know, I study sex all the time. Mm-hmm. Everything I do in my life is in alignment with my desire and passion around sex and sexual education and breaking down the barriers. But at the end of the day, there are some days where I'm just like, oh, babe, you know, I don't say no often, but, mm-hmm. but there are days where I'm just like, really? Like, and this is what it's, you know, look, but then once it starts going, I'm like so glad that we did, you know, so that's, mm-hmm. that's kind of, you have to kind of push yourself
just
there.
Just need
sometimes.
A little bit more backing up and re-entering the
mental
situation.
A little
situation.
More clit stimulation.
Well, and
really
I was going to say that
to.
And a little more actual work on the other, a little more foreplay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yep. But I can totally get her husband saying that because it, you know, it comes to a point where when you become a sexpert, mm-hmm. And everybody assumes that you're just on your back having sex all day long. And that's really not my life. Mm-hmm. My life is reading a lot of reading, watching a lot of YouTube, interacting with people, answering questions, meeting with clients one-on-one. And when I meet with clients one-on-one, it's not in a bedroom. It's
right.
It's in a hotel meeting space or at a Perkins somewhere, you know? So,
So I'm wondering if there are some people who, yes, obviously the act of sex is fulfilling, but if that isn't there, are there other things they can do to be able to talk about it, communicate about it, that doesn't necessarily feed, maybe it feeds a desire a little bit, but it also satiates.
Well, I've come to a place where I've determined that although my actual like awakening, enlightenment, consciousness, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. came through my exploration of sex, I think it's the adventure. Mm. Honestly, it kind of boils down to having an adventure in your life. I don't believe that everybody has to go on a year of sexual exploration. I think everybody should, but I don't think they have to in order to be awakened and conscious and aware. They may dive into creativity or dance or maybe food is their thing and it's orgasmic to them to taste a morsel of food that they've made. Mm-hmm. And they actually get so much pleasure from it that it brings them to a place of awakening. This is, it's everybody's individual journey, which is what I want to honor in so many people, that just because you are where you are does not mean you can't change your path. Mm-hmm. So especially
right.
when we're talking about people who have not explored or considered the area of their sexuality in their overall journey in life, it's an absolute wild adventure. And it can totally wake you up. It can totally add new fire or passion to your life. It can change your career, like in my case. You know, there's but I think everybody has their thing, but they have to go on an adventure. There's everybody's looking for that hero's journey. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to have a hero's journey. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I represent with the hero's journey a lot because I keep going through shit and I keep having to be the hero journeying through it and coming out the other side with the, you know, the ta-da, here it is, and going back to normal life until the next thing happens.
So maybe we'll have to do a whole episode on a hero's journey in your sexual hero's journey, just to help people understand the phases of that and the places of that and what that can look like. Because I think you're right. The adventure and the journey, that's why, you know, the advice for people, for couples whose sex life is getting boring, it's like, you need to recreate the fun that you had when sex was exciting and it was new and you were discovering each other. So you need to put yourself in new places to discover each other.
Right.
To discover each other again.
They have to start dating all over. They are creating a new adventure. Because it's not just like a flip of a light switch. You don't just change one day into a sexual being from a non-sexual being, right. Or you don't turn into a slut from a prude overnight. It just does not happen. I mean, it can be part of your adventure, but there's more to it than that, you know, mm-hmm. And there's the realization that there needs to be a journey. There's probably lots of thoughts and time that you've put into thinking about what you're lacking or what could be better or...
And how do you connect with your partner? And right. And if you have a partner and you're not alone, how do you connect with your partner to say, how do we come together on this journey?
Yeah.
So and grow together and have fun and make it, you know, discover each other anew again. And
yeah. Because you know. think about a lot of movies. Usually there's one hero. Mm-hmm. The leader, the main character, and then there's a bunch of supporting cast, right? Mm-hmm. It's not super often that you see the hero's journey with two people on the same exact journey.
Right.
So one has to take the lead and one has to be a supporting character and be willing to go along for the ride and learn along with or take what they can and support the other person regardless. So I don't know. I'm reading Joseph Campbell's Hero with a Thousand Faces, and it's all about the hero's journey and how that is a common theme through all history,
right.
Through mythology, through everything. So it's just really fascinating.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
It's an excellent book.
I've read his stuff. Yeah.
I get through like four pages and I have to go back and read it again, highlight, take notes. Ooh, I really like that. I read it four times, you know, something. Mm-hmm. So I'm only on like page 45. It's a big book. And I started it 3 weeks ago. So I'm really like trying to digest exactly what's being said. And I think it's so true.
Interesting.
But going back to the initial post,
yes.
I mean, the initial topic. We are on a journey. We're on a fitness journey. We're on a mental journey. We're on this emotional journey.
And how do we plan ahead, right? That's what this whole Centurion thing is about. It's about planning ahead. We in America have this sort of entitlement idea, right? And this idea that we will just be fine, right?
Yeah.
Or the idea that, well,
handed to us.
Right. Or that, well, something will kill us. And it's like, well, but can we do things to have the best time? You know, like you said, we can live a long time now, but we also know that we're dying longer as well. So how do we have that life, the vivaciousness, the vitality, the ability to do whatever we want, you know, and that way too. I mean, it's the whole, you know, if something happens to you and part of you doesn't work, the rest of you can, you know, how can we train and keep the rest of us in good.
And I think that's a big part of it. Huge part of it is mindfulness, number one, and just having what's important to you in the forefront of your mind on a regular basis with intention. Mm-hmm. But thinking of opportunities and possibilities versus things shutting you down. I've talked about this before here where somebody that I knew had to have a limb amputated. I pondered it, you know, and when I was going through my sexual exploration, I ended up coming across a group, an actual sex positive group of amputees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how they have incredible nub sex is what they called it. Nub sex. They actually use their nubs to rub against a woman's clit or whatever. And mm-hmm. it's supposed to be absolutely wildly crazy good. And I can imagine that it would be, because I can get off rubbing off on a guy's knee, you know? So, I mean, and I think it would probably be wildly ironic and a little naughty or whatever to mm-hmm. just kind of be thinking about how out of the ordinary this might be. Instead of thinking how sorry for yourself you would be, like, oh, I'm missing a part of my body. It's the same, not the same, but with like breast cancer, when people have to have mastectomies, yeah. or you have your uterus is removed for a hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. There's still ways to be a sexual being just because sexual parts of your body have been removed. It's right. Most of it is in your mind. And then of course there's hormones and things that happen, but that can be addressed through hormone therapy if you choose to do that. But your boobs do not make you a female. You know, that's it's mindset.
Right.
Think about all the men who are transgender.
Right. But right.
And I think cross-dressers, whatever.
Well, and it's in how many people have transitioned, but still have the other parts. And
right.
And so it is a mind. And I think we need to take somehow, again, there's so much to be learned from the transgender community.
Absolutely.
We can take that. And I think it is an interesting thing when it comes to disability, because again, because of our culture, because of how things look, a lot of times I can understand that the amputee folks have come together, because whenever, you know, disability comes into play, asexuality automatically comes into the mindset of,
right.
Oh, they're not, and no, it's like, no, no, no. You know, but I understand from their perspective too, there might be a concern with some people about being objectified or wanted sexually only because they have this amputation. And for some people, that you're right, it is a little bit deviant or naughty or whatever. And therefore it's like, then
fetishized,
are they,
whatever, right. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. That was what I was looking for also. And so, you know, do they want to be a part of that, or is it the, no, I just want to be loved for who I am, and this is just a part of me? But it's a process, and it's a, it's a cultural process.
It's an adventure.
Person. Right. Exactly.
It's an adventure to go from point A to point B. It's taking where you're at, and if you're not happy with it, and how you get to that other side, and how you get to being 100 years old and still being a sexy as fuck person, you know,
right.
Going out with a bang. There have been times where I have been having sex with my husband, and he's 70 years older than me and has blood pressure and heart issues, where I've thought to myself, well, if he were to die right now, at least he'd be dying doing what he loves.
Right. Yeah. That's...
So, you know, how messed up is that? No, but I think about it, like, how would I tell his kids how he died? Well, we were having sex and he died. Your dad really liked sex. I don't know what to tell you. He died a happy man. So yeah, I don't think I'd have as much gasping, oh my gosh, judgment around mm-hmm. something like that if somebody were to tell me that ever mm-hmm. anymore, because I'd right. be like, well, at least
I hope,
you know,
they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
How many people get to go out last minutes being really joyful?
Yeah.
You know, right. I'd rather go out that way than many, many others. So, you know.
I love
yes.
it.
So keep the heart strong, because that's another important part.
Yes. Physically keeping
physically
that cardio.
Right.
Walk.
So you can have that sustainability.
And don't be afraid of having sex. That's another thing, because as people get older, they think that because of their blood pressure or because of this or because of that, that they can't have sex. There are ways to modify. It's just like going for physical therapy or going to the gym or whatever else, there are modifications that can be done in sexual positions and sexual things that can make it possible for you to still have orgasm and for you to still be pleased and for you to still engage with a partner.
So we need to make a list of physicians, physical therapists, et cetera, who are sex positive.
Yeah.
Who people can go, because people really, even like if you're having vaginal issues, I mean, just maybe you don't know if it's a lubrication, personal lubrication thing or what. Mm-hmm. To find a sex positive doctor would be huge, because you can actually have the conversation and they might take time to actually look at what's going on more comfortably than a doctor who wants to get in, get out because they're not comfortable.
Yeah.
So I would love.
It's the same thing as like with my physical therapist this morning. You know, I'm having some issues with my hips, which is kind of funny because I like sex. People would automatically think that my hips are a problem because of my sex, but that's not the case. The case is that I was 100 pounds overweight for a very long time, and I had 4 very large babies, all close to 10 pounds. So I had 4 C-sections. Oh. And yeah, and then I'm an all or nothing kind of physical girl. So when I do work out, I beat the crap out of myself, right? So running, boxing, whatever I was doing, I was just not paying attention necessarily to body mechanics. I was just going for the gold, you know, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So I did some damage to my body, but I go into the physical therapist and he wants to know what activities am I experiencing pain in. Mm-hmm. And I sat there and I was being all, you know, vacuuming is a problem, going up and down a ladder is a problem, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, and I may as well tell you that, yeah, sex is a problem too. And he's like, well, of course it would be. And I'm like, well, thank you for saying that.
Right.
And then we went on to what I do for a living, of course. And then once the door was open, then we start talking about a lot of these other things, like I was telling you, the Kegel exercises and things that are going to help strengthen the pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. And they help your hips, they help your knees, they help your core muscles, they help everything. So why aren't we doing more Kegels? Why aren't we being taught more about these really, really important pelvic muscles that could support us until we're 100 years old?
Right. Yep.
Right?
Wouldn't that be neat if we could just talk about stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's we are damaging our minds, our bodies, our health, because we are not able to have these discussions.
Sex matters, period. People, sex matters. Talk about it.
Please. Let's talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things, man. Okay, we're not singers, Judy.
Well, I actually am.
Oh, you are. That's right. That's right. I forgot. Yeah. Okay.
But the impromptu is a whole different deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know you have to go soon.
I do.
So I want to just throw it. Let's throw in some last words. If you have some last minute thoughts, I know my thoughts are. A couple of my thoughts are, yeah, thinking when you're having sex, think about what muscles you're using, mm-hmm. and what you need to strengthen, and know that you might not know the answer. So this guy, this doctor guy, because he wants to be able to do these particular lunges, he's working out, his trainer is working him differently now because they're like, oh, well, you need to have these muscles then, right? Mm. So being very specific about what you want and understanding what muscles do that. And then we also need a movement so that when you move into a nursing home, that you are allowed to have your sex toys and your preferred lube.
You know, I really think this is something we should do. Like, why? Okay. I'm not. Okay. I wrote that funny thing about what to do with old dildos or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing is, dildos last forever. They don't break down. We need a recycling program.
The new ones are better.
Right? Oh, they are.
The new ones are better. The old ones, and some of the old ones we should all just get rid of because they're toxic.
Yeah.
So it's the new, the silicone, the glass, the whatever metal they're making those things out of sex toys.
Right. But we need to find some ergonomically correct disposable vibrators, like a bullet type thing, but with an ergonomic handle that elderly people could use.
Right. So like an extended kind of somehow there's
You know those shepherd's hooks that they use in physical therapy?
Oh, the ones that you like the therapines?
Yeah. And then just put a little spot in the end for don't steal that idea, anybody who's listening. And I'm gonna contact somebody. I'm gonna like copyright this shit, trademark it. I don't know what but I'm looking around because I have one of those canes to get the knots out of my
back. Well,
and
that's a good start because I'm thinking you might have to shift the handle so that they don't have to turn their hand. Like if you think of that and then you think of where it would end up, it's going to be a very uncomfortable hand position. So you need handlebars on the fairy cane.
Handlebars. Oh, Nellie, hold on. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we do. We need to come up with some older generation vibratory sensations or, you know, I've been talking to some people about experiences that they have had in other countries, you know, like the soap rooms or different stuff like that in Japan, where you can, there are all kinds of different experiences that you can have there that just have to do with physical touch and just being lathered up or totally oiled.
Well, that's
or
the
whatever.
Other thing. We all, physical touch and sex go so
important
together, and they're not, there need to be, we need to have again an acceptance of that. I mean, I know the amount of people, I saw something on Facebook of cuddle parties and people were like, that's disgusting and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why is that? People are,
I
so
held a couple,
so
they're
miserable.
Really fun and they're quite intimate and vulnerable. People just come and it's not a sex party. It's honestly just cuddling up on the couch and stroking somebody's hair or just
all that shit we don't get enough of.
Right.
You know,
old people need that too. And when I say old, I respectfully say aging population. I know there's new terms that they use for elderly. I'm getting there. I mean, I'm almost 50 and they consider me part of the senior generation, the senior, whatever. I can get senior discounts at 50 at gym.
I am not accepting senior discounts. I refuse.
So I'm all about this, you know, midlife crescendo. As I've said before, I totally believe we need to be living full out to the very last breath we take. We need to be living our fullest, most
bliss-filled
life. Yeah, that's
why the hell not? And I mean, I think of, I used to have a coworker, her parents came from, I can't remember which country they came from. They basically, you know, she's like, my grandpa came over to the US and he could not understand American. She's like, my grandpa is gardening at 100. And he's like looking at people who are 65 and retiring and sitting on their butt. And he's like, what are you doing? How does this work? Like he just couldn't make sense of it and thought, you know, that was when he's 100 and they're 60.
Yeah.
That was 40. That's a half a lifetime ago for him. And he's like, they're already like giving up and he couldn't understand it because in his country, you couldn't do that. If you wanted to eat, you got to grow your food. If you want to do this, if you legitimately can't, you legitimately can't. But he was
You've
talking about people
keep
who
moving.
Legitimately we've, could, right?
Yeah. We've got to keep moving as a society, especially if we want to be sexual. We've got to stay moving, people. We've got to move. Move that body. Move that pelvis. Move your hands. Move them wherever you want. Move. You've got to move and keep that circulation and energy flowing through your body so that you can be a sexually viable centurion.
Right. Yeah. In whatever way you want to be.
Exactly.
Whatever way you want to be. Yeah.
Well, I've got to go.
You got to go.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
We could talk for hours. I know. So we'll have to schedule our next one soon.
Okay. Yeah. I would actually love that. The next one, I'd love your opinion on gender reveal parties because I have an interesting article about that.
Oh, interesting. So, Sounds fun.
All right.
All right. Gender reveal. That's what's next. All right.
Yes. Okay.
Got it. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. So that was a really long quickie. I nor Patricia are apparently very good at quickies. That's all right. I have put in the notes a couple links to a few YouTube videos talking about The Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell. So one is really short just to give you a real sense of the idea if this is a concept that's very, very new to you or you haven't heard of it. And another one that actually is a little bit longer and kind of like looks at it and what does this look like in our actual life? So fun stuff. Thanks for listening to Sex Matters. Please consider putting a review or a star rating on iTunes or wherever you are listening to your podcasts. We love feedback on the website. Remember, you can also ask a question and you can be anonymous about the question or the topic. feel free. If you've got any comments that you don't want to post on Facebook or on the podcast itself, toss it as an anonymous question if it feels better for you that way. You can do that at sexmatterspodcast.com. You can find out more about Patricia and her work at thepowerexchange.co. That's thepowerexchange.co. You, of course, can find her on Facebook as well. You can find my health and wellness podcast and listen to the Centurion Olympics episode there with a little bit of a different flavor at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Or look for the Wellness Renaissance podcast on iTunes or, again, wherever you are finding your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. And remember, we assigned you homework within the episode. So enjoy.